I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
I'm Ina Garten. I love to invite interesting people to my house for good food, great conversation, and lots of fun. The incredible astronaut Nicole Mann, who has commanded the space station and walked twice in space, is coming to the barn.
Ina has invited me to come cook with her. I think I might be more nervous than when I launched from space.
When she was in space, she longed for the smell of apple pie, so I'm welcoming her with my apple crostata.
Out of this world.
We're talking fear.
It was like an Apollo 13 moment when we're like, okay, we've got to figure this out.
Family.
My son was 10 when I launched and turned 11 while I was on board.
And food.
I tell kids all the time, it's the one place where you're allowed to play with your food.
Then I'm showing her how to perfect seared scallops and potato and celery root puree, one of her all-time favorite dishes. Be my guest.
It is my pleasure.
I have the most incredible guest today. It's Colonel Nicole Mann. She's not just a fighter pilot, she's an astronaut. And I met her in the most amazing way. One day, NASA called me. I mean, how many times do I get to say that? NASA called me and said she wanted to talk to me. So we set up this incredible Zoom. She was on the space station, I was here. And we had the most wonderful time. One of the things she particularly missed in space was the smell of things like apple pie. And so I'm going to make her an apple crostata that's going to smell fabulous. While I work on the apples for the crostata, let me tell you what I know about Colonel Mann. Nicole Mann is a Marine colonel, a fighter pilot, an astronaut, and a member of the Waluski Indian tribe. Born in California, Nicole graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy in 1999 and 2 years later earned a master's in mechanical engineering from Stanford University. Nicole is a colonel in the Marines, serving 47 combat missions as a fighter pilot over Iraq and Afghanistan. In 2013, she was one of 8 candidates selected from more than 6,300 applicants to train as an astronaut for NASA. 9 years later, she went to the International Space Station as commander of NASA's SpaceX Crew 5, spending 157 days in orbit and completing 2 spacewalks, making her the first Native American woman in space. Nicole lives in Houston with her husband and son. I can't wait to see her. Okay, so the apples, I'm cutting them up. I have about 1.5 pounds. You can use Macoun or Empire, something crisp and flavorful for this. And then I'm going to put a little bit of orange zest in it. I just like oranges and apples. It just has a nice combination. Okay, so that's 1/2 teaspoon. I'm just going to stir this together. Okay, that's the apples. And this is the pastry. Nicole is actually gluten-free, so I made a gluten-free pastry. Let me tell you how I made it. The pastry is simple. I put 2 cups of gluten-free flour in the food processor, along with 1/4 cup of granulated sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt, and pulsed it a few times to combine everything. Then I added 1/2 pound of very cold, diced, unsalted butter, then pulsed the machine about 12 to 15 times until the butter was the size of peas. Next, with the motor running, I added 6 tablespoons of ice water all at once through the feed tube and kept hitting the pulse button to combine everything, but stopped just before the dough came together. Then I turned the dough onto a well-floured board and formed it into 2 discs. I wrapped them both and put one in the freezer for another day and refrigerated the second one for about an hour to make the crostata. The final step was to roll it into an 11-inch circle on a lightly floured surface. And then I put it on a baking sheet lined with parchment paper. Okay, I'm going to now put the apples right on the pastry, leaving about a 1.5-inch border. And then I'm just going to fold the pastry up and over, just crimping it a little bit, all the way around. Okay, next I'm going to make a crumble topping for it. So first thing I need is 1/4 cup of flour, and this is gluten-free flour, 1/4 cup of sugar, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/8 teaspoon of allspice, and then 4 tablespoons of cold butter. And then I'm just gonna just pulse this until the butter's mixed up and crumbly. Okay, I'm gonna put it right on top of the apple crostata. This is gonna be really good. Okay, then into the oven, really hot oven, 450 degrees for 20 to 25 minutes. And then I'm going to take it out, let it cool for about 5 minutes, and then it'll be all ready when Nicole gets here. So the apple crostata is done. It just smells amazing. So I transfer it with big spatulas, and I actually do it on the parchment paper onto a board so we can cut it. All ready for Colonel Mann.
This is awesome. I'm so excited. It's just beautiful. Can't believe I'm finally here. Ina? Hello.
Colonel Mann, I presume.
It is so great to see you. I'm so excited. And so it's
exciting.
So good in here.
That's one thing you miss in space, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Come
with me.
What did you bring?
A little treat. Some real space food. And this, okay, is my favorite on the space station. It's called mango salad.
Yeah.
And
isn't this amazing?
It tastes. So this takes 50 milliliters of water. And then all you do is you set it aside and let it wait a little bit.
Okay.
So it rehydrates, and then we'll get a chance to taste it.
How exciting is that? Well, I made an apple crostata. I thought it might smell good when you walked
in.
It
looks beautiful, and yes, it smells so good. You really miss the smells in space because there's no gravity, so heat doesn't rise.
Oh, that's so interesting. I hope it's good.
I'm sure it's gonna be the best.
Not bad, right?
Mm-hmm. Out of this world.
How many of those do you get?
never, because you only can say it if you really mean it, and I really mean it.
Oh, thank
you. This is awesome.
So before we go to the table and talk, can we taste the mango salad?
Are you ready?
Yeah,
are you ready
I am.
For this? Okay.
I'll let you go ahead.
Just taste it?
Yeah.
This is my first space food. It's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious.
It's not bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take our apple tart.
Oh, right.
There's so much I want to talk to you about.
Sounds great.
Not just an ordinary day at the barn. Coming up, we're back down to earth, literally.
We're moving 25 times faster than the speed of sound.
And back to the kitchen, revealing the secret to perfect scallops and celery root puree.
Awesome pro tip.
I'm glad I can teach her something.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
I'm here with Colonel Nicole Mann, and I have so much to ask you about. But first, tell me about your spacesuit.
So, of course, we have the NASA meatball.
The meatball.
The meatball is our logo. And then the 100 days patch, you have a milestone for every 100 days in space. And I spent 157 days in space. And then the Mach 25 patch. So when we return to Earth, we're traveling at 25 times the speed of sound.
Unbelievable.
And I'm glad you asked because I brought you something, a Crew 5 patch. So that flew with me in space, and I wanted you to have
that. I will treasure this. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Most people think that when you're five, you decide you want to be an astronaut. Mm-hmm. And you don't really find your passion when you're five, or it's very rare if you do.
Absolutely agree. And I think, you know, these days there's so much pressure put on kids. And for me, I didn't have it all figured out. I knew it was important to get a great education. And then by doing that, these opportunities, you know, open up. And you might go a direction and be like, you know what, that's not for me. And you might change direction. So yeah, it was later on in life, my late 20s, when I first, you know, considered really being an astronaut.
And that's actually when a lot of people do it, because you try different things in your 20s.
Yeah, and you've had those life experiences. Yeah. And that's the one thing that I've found that all astronauts have in common is whatever they did before they became an astronaut, their previous job, they absolutely loved it and were passionate about it.
You're a fighter pilot in the Marines. What is it like to land a 33,000-pound jet on a carrier in the ocean where the carrier's moving, you're moving, and God knows the waves are moving? What's that like?
It is a very high level of adrenaline when you're doing that. And I think you're just so focused. It's so dynamic, and every little movement that you make, you need to be so precise to land
including
on the aircraft
wind,
carrier.
The airspeed. I mean, that's
the
wind coming at you and crabbing on a
Yep. And if it's at night, Ina, and you can't see, you know, a horizon, you're really relying on all of your training, on your instruments, on what you're seeing with the lens or the ball that we use to judge glide slope to land. But I would land, especially at night. Every time you land, you go military power when you land, in case your hook doesn't catch a wire.
Yeah.
You need to go military power so that you'll bounce and go back around.
Yeah.
So you land, and it just stops you so abruptly. It's quite violent. And then they'll come out and tell you to throttle back. You'll throttle back and come back, and my legs would always shake.
Right.
They're always shaking.
From the adrenaline.
Yeah, not from, you know, fear and nervousness.
Fear.
You're on the deck. But
they're just
shaking. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I actually think I'm an adrenaline junkie. I take on these things that I think I can't possibly do. Mm-hmm. Nothing like you. Can I tell you a personal story?
Oh my goodness, please.
When I was about 21, I was living in North Carolina. My husband was in the military, and we lived near an airfield. And I walked myself over there, and I said to the guys behind the counter, I'd really like to learn how to fly an airplane. And they said to me, I'm really sorry we don't have anybody that will teach a girl how to fly.
No, are you
and
serious?
I would like to go back right now and find that guy and tell him who I'm sitting here talking to.
Now, you did end up getting your pilot's license,
though, right? I
did,
actually, because I don't know, the pluck I must have had at that time, I said to him, well, then I guess you'll have to find somebody who will find teach a girl how to fly.
Absolutely.
And they did. There must have been extraordinary barriers for you, from school to being a Marine pilot to being an astronaut. How did you deal with those?
You know, I think everybody has barriers in life, right? Yeah. And there's going to be times when you struggle and maybe there's not that support structure there that would be ideal for you to succeed. And I think the important thing is to go out there and then find that support, whether that be your parents or your teammates or a teacher or somebody in your community that can help you through those difficult times.
I always see barriers as problems to solve, mm-hmm. not as a stop
challenges
sign,
to overcome.
As a challenge.
Yes, absolutely.
And you don't do anything that's not hard. Like me. I remember one day I was frustrated about something I was trying to make, and Jeffrey said, if you thought cooking was going to be easy, you wouldn't be interested.
You wouldn't
do it. Are
you
the same way?
I agree. I mean, you want the challenge, and I think it's really special moment when you overcome those challenges and you're successful, and you can celebrate that with the people that helped you through a tough time.
So tell me about the International Space Station. Mm-hmm. What little I know is it's an enormous piece of equipment that you're living in for 6 months, mm-hmm. hurling through space at 17,500 miles an hour. What does that feel like? Are you aware of the movement?
When you go into the cupola, which is the module that's on the belly of the space station, there's seven windows, and that normally faces the planet. That's the most incredible view to see the planet from space. Mm-hmm. And so then you're very aware. And because you're going around every 90 minutes, you get a sunrise and a sunset about every 45 minutes.
What an incredible experience. When I talked to you in space, you were growing tomatoes. Tell me about that.
So we grew, there's over 200 experiments that are ongoing on board the space station.
200?
And the tomatoes were really cool. We grew plants and tomatoes.
Yeah.
The tomatoes were the little dwarf tomatoes, and they live inside these bellows, this little like kind of plastic sleeves, mm-hmm. and we're looking at different lights and fertilizers. The concept is that when we have sustained presence on the lunar surface or eventually to Mars, we need to be able to supplement an astronaut's diet other than just the freeze-dried food. Mm-hmm. But also, when you pull down those bellows, you can smell
the
leaves and the tomatoes, and it gives you this, you know, this sense, like this connection with Earth. Mm-hmm. And so we find there's really a psychological impact to that as well. And if you're thinking of, you know, like a 3-year mission to Mars, that's going to be really important. The little plants that we grew, not only did we grow the plants, but we harvested the seeds. And then the next experiment, we'll fly seeds from Earth, seeds from space,
and see
the epigenetic changes of these little plants.
Yeah. Cool.
So it's pretty incredible.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. What's a typical day in the space station? Is there a typical day?
I know we are on the tightest schedule that you can imagine,
For 6 months?
For 6 months. The day is lined out in 5-minute increments, so there's a time to go to bed, a time to start the workday, and everything is scheduled for you.
How do you organize meal times? How does that work?
Well, your lunch is scheduled. The workday is 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and so before that, you have breakfast and dinner, and we usually come together to have dinner as a crew, and we laugh and we talk and we make jokes and we talk about the day because it's important to have that human interaction.
What's fun to do on a space station that you can't do on Earth?
Oh my gosh, everything. Water is fun because you can put it on your hands. It's like a gel or a goo, or you can smash your face into it, which is really fun to do. It's fun to play with food. Food in space, I tell kids all the time, it's the one place where you're allowed to play with your food. And my sister, they have some visiting cargo vehicles and they can send some special food for you as a treat.
Yeah.
She surprised me and sent all the fixings for a charcuterie board. And we put that on our board. I used honey to try to make everything kind of stay down because as you move around, it wants to float away. It was so special. It was really fun.
You did 2 spacewalks while you were on the space station. Tell me about them.
You know, that first spacewalk, we actually had a problem. We had some mechanical interference with one of the struts, and we couldn't get that installed. And my husband and son were in mission control, and they said, no kidding, it was like an Apollo 13 moment. Like, engineers were coming in with all the actual hardware and dumping it on a table and being like, okay, we've got to figure this out, you know? And we came back in the door without completing the mission, and it was a horrible feeling, to be honest.
It must have been devastating.
Yeah, one of the worst feelings, you know, and because you think, you start to doubt yourself, like, okay, what could I have done better? Could I have been more efficient? What could I have done differently? 2 weeks later, we went out the door with all these troubleshooting techniques, and we eventually were successful in getting this hardware installed. And I mean, we were cheering in space. It was really, really special.
Is there anything that you brought with you to space that was kind of sentimental?
Mm-hmm. There is, yes. And so I brought a dream catcher with me. So I'm Native American on my mother's side, Wailaki, yeah. And a dream catcher my mother gave me when I was small. I had some, you know, frightening dreams, I think, as all children do.
Well, and also you do frightening things. You have a reason to have frightening dreams.
And so, you know, that was just a great thing to help me visualize and kind of deal with that. So I brought that to space, and that was really special to me because it was my connection to my family back home. And, you know, sometimes when I'm having a tough day on space station, that little dream catcher was just tied to a little string in my crew quarters, and there's a little fan that blows, and so it would just fly in the wind and remind me.
It just grounded you.
It really did. Yeah. It reminded me of all the love and support of everybody on the planet. While I was up there.
We've all seen the capsule coming back to Earth, coming through the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. But what is it actually like when you're in that capsule?
You are literally a ball of fire coming back to the planet. We're moving at Mach 25, so 25 times faster than the speed of sound. It feels like somebody's like standing on your chest.
Oh, I just got chills.
It's just so much pressure. I had to use my hands to lift up my head because we're at 2.5 Gs to look out the window, and now it's just on fire with all these different colors and sparks of plasma flying past you. It's just incredible. So we land off the coast of Florida.
Yeah.
SpaceX picks the whole capsule up and puts it on a boat.
Yeah.
And then they pull everybody out. We helicoptered over to Florida, and then we took a jet back to Houston. And your family's there waiting for you.
What did it feel like to be home? It must have been just joyous.
They let your family come on board so you can have kind of that first special moment together and your big hugs together. And my son, he was 10 when I launched and turned 11. While I was on board, and I told him, okay, you can't grow up while I'm gone. I still want you to be a sweet little boy and be snuggly when I get back, and he was.
That's just wonderful. Beside your family and the smell of apple pie, what did you miss most?
smells was the biggest thing. You know, I love just being outside in nature and also in the kitchen. And so those smells, the pine trees, the wet grass, you know, cooking food in the kitchen, I really miss that. But my sister sent up cards, one for each month. And inside the card, she put scratch and sniff stickers. Do you remember those from when we were kids, right?
Yeah.
And the scratch and sniff stickers had a different theme each month. And they were incredible. It was just a great reminder. My favorite was like a cola sticker, and you can scratch it and smell it. You could almost feel the bubbles, you know, in your nose. It was really incredible.
That. That's fabulous. What was the first meal you had when you came back to Earth?
So my husband cooked steak, just fillets on the grill, and broccolini. And it was amazing. And just the smell of the steak on the grill was incredible.
I love roasted broccolini.
Roasted broccolini.
It's just the best. Delicious.
A little bit of lemon juice when it comes off.
Exactly.
It's perfect.
And one thing you didn't get to do a lot there is cooking.
Right.
I understand you'd like to learn how to make scallops better. Am I right?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Scallops are
so
challenging.
I can do that.
You can? I would love it.
I can't fly to space, but I can show you how to make good scallops.
Awesome. I need the help.
So I thought what we would do is make seared scallops with a potato and celery root puree, which is delicious together.
Okay, perfect.
So we're going to start with a puree. So what I've done so far is I cooked 6 cups of leeks in some butter, just until they're really tender. So do you want to hand me? These are the celery root. About 4 cups,
okay,
all diced, and 4 cups of potatoes. I use Yukon Gold potatoes and peel them. Just put them right in.
So
the next thing I need is, are you going to believe this, 3 cups of heavy cream.
Ooh,
you knew there was a reason it was really
good.
That's
going to be some miles that I need to run after that one, but it's worth it, though. It's worth it.
And then just salt and pepper.
Okay.
So I need 4 teaspoons of salt. It seems like a lot, but it makes a lot of puree. And 2 teaspoons of pepper. So I'm going to bring this to a boil, and it's just going to cook, and then we can puree it.
Sounds great.
You know, one thing I wanted to know is, I can't imagine sleeping in space. So describe what it's like.
In the beginning, I actually had a hard time, I think because my mind was just,
can you imagine?
Right? Just so busy. Yeah. And so to try to calm my mind down at night, I started doing just a sleep meditation, you know, just an app, like a calming music. And they said, okay, relax your head, relax your back, pretend you're floating in space. And I was like, I am floating in space. Yes.
I love that. Okay, let's see if the cream's coming to a boil. Perfect. Just coming to a boil. I'm going to lower the heat and just let it simmer for 25 minutes. And then the potatoes and the celery will be really tender and we can puree it.
Sounds great.
It's so good. Okay, let's see if the vegetables are tender.
Okay.
Fabulous. Okay, so now what we're going to do is puree it. And the easiest thing to do is in a food processor. So I'm going to put half of it in this food processor. All right, are you in charge of pureeing?
Yes, of course.
Okay. I always do the pulse thing. I kind of hold it down because I think it mixes it better.
Okay, and so I want it still a little bit chunky?
Yeah, I like a little texture in things. I don't like baby food.
Yeah, or space food.
Or space food, yeah. So let's see what this looks like now. Okay. So do you want to pour that into there?
Mm-hmm.
And do you know a trick for keeping the...
The blade from falling out? No.
Do you know how to do that? If you hold
Without
it on
burning
the bottom...
Your finger.
Hold it on the bottom.
Yes.
And then you can just, here.
Oh my goodness.
I'll hold it.
I can't tell you how many times I have either dumped the blade in there or burnt my finger, you know, because I'm trying to
hold it.
I'm trying to hold it. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Just hold the back.
Awesome, awesome pro tip.
I'm glad I can teach her something. Okay. And then we do the rest of it. So I think I'm just going to kind of dump it in. You want to help me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Okay, so sometimes I can't find celery root in my store at home.
Seriously?
Yes. So what do I, is there something that I can do, you know, like a good substitute?
What about like parsnips? Would that work?
Yeah. I will keep that in mind.
Okay, one more time.
Okay.
Go for it. I bet that's good.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yes?
Okay.
Okay, can I try the trick?
Yep, try the trick. Go for it.
I can't fail.
You just put your finger in there. You hold it from the bottom. Isn't that interesting?
That is awesome. Total game changer.
So one of the things, I love this for a really, if you're going to be out and you're doing something like New Year's Eve,
mm-hmm.
we spend it in Paris and we go to a bar with some friends and then we come home and I have to make dinner really fast. So
right.
I make the potato and celery root puree in advance. And then when I come home, all I have to do is sear the scallops and we have dinner. So it's great for a dinner party if you want to do something in advance.
And do you just put this in the fridge and then reheat, or do you leave it kind of room temperature?
I would kind of leave it room temperature, okay. And then we can put it back in the pot. Mm-hmm. Or the other thing you can do is like potatoes. You can do a double boiler.
Okay.
And just set it over
hot water.
Oh, right,
and just let it stay
there. Right. This really is a two-person job, and I don't have just anybody helping me in the kitchen.
Awesome.
Perfect. I'm big on tasting things as you go along and see how they are, just so you can season it. Let's see how this is. See if it needs more salt, pepper.
Mm.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
It's perfect.
Okay. If Nicole says it's perfect, it must be perfect. Thank you. That's great. Okay, good. Wonderful. Mm. Okay.
That is good.
Are you ready for the challenge of scallops?
I'm ready.
Okay. Mm-hmm. One is that they need to be really dry when they go into the sauté pan. So what I do is I dry them really well with paper towels, because mm-hmm. if they're dry, they'll sear really well. And then I season them, and not just like a little salt and pepper. We're talking major seasoning.
Major salt and pepper.
Major
okay.
salt and pepper.
Don't
Most
be
people
shy.
Are shocked by how much I season things. But then the flavor gets really into it. Okay, so you want to hand me the grapeseed
right.
oil?
Grapeseed oil. And is the grapeseed, why is that key?
It's flavorless, and also it burns at a high temperature, so you can get the pan really hot and not burn the oil.
Okay.
So how do you like to entertain at home?
Well, of course I love to cook. It's one of my
Clearly.
Favorite things to
do.
And I never really got a chance to cook on Space Station. You know, the only thing you can really do is take a tortilla and then add a bunch of stuff to the tortilla and come up with some combination of space food.
Or you can do that while you're
and
there.
Roll it together. Yes, that's really the best that can come close to cooking in space is just mixing a few things on a tortilla. So now that I'm home, love to cook with my family. Yeah. My son's actually starting to get interested in being in the kitchen.
Great.
And he makes an awesome egg sandwich.
Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. That's better than Jeffrey. He only makes coffee, but he makes good coffee.
He makes good coffee. Well, you know.
So one of the things is I don't want to move them at all.
Okay.
I want them to really sear. And then in 3 minutes, you'll see they won't stick.
Do you ever adjust based on size? Because some of those guys are pretty big and some are smaller.
The difference is the thickness, not the size of the scallop.
Okay.
So they're going to cook exactly the same amount of time,
because they're
no matter
the same
how
thickness.
Big they are, because of the same thickness.
I don't know why I didn't think of that, but I didn't.
Well, that's my job, so I did. 3 minutes. Okay. So are you in charge of turning them?
Yes. Okay.
Go for
it. This is my big test. Okay. Ready?
So you want them a little browned on one side, turn them, and cook them for 3 minutes on the other side. So what's your favorite thing to make when you're entertaining?
Okay. I make the little buckwheat bellinis.
Do you really?
With the salmon and the creme fraiche and the dill on top. And I love it with a gin and tonic with key limes.
Ooh.
For some reason, that flavor together goes great. And you know, you can make them early. And so I make the little bellinis, and then when everybody shows up, all you have to do is kind of top them off.
We're talking serious cook here. Okay, I think they're ready. It's 3 minutes, and you can press them. And if the bounce back's, you know, it's tender, but it bounces back. That's pretty much done,
you can right? That.
Okay.
All right.
So, are you going to chop some chives?
I'm
the
on chives, yes, ma'am.
And I'm going to serve it up.
Okay.
That was pretty fast, wasn't it?
That was really fast.
For a meal like that? Yeah. Okay, so we've got some celery root puree. I love the texture of these too, the creamy celery root.
It has the little chunks in there, so it's not just...
It's not just pureed,
too pureed.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Ooh, these smell so good. A little garnish.
A little garnish.
And what I like to do sometimes is just do a little drizzle of olive oil on it. Just kind of gives it a richness.
Perfect.
Should we try it?
Yes, let's.
And we did this together.
Yes, we did. Great teamwork.
It's perfect. It's really good, isn't it? If I do say so myself.
It's really like you know what you're doing in the kitchen.
A spacewalk I'm not so good at, but this I can do.
But scallops, you've got that nailed.
Thank you so much for coming.
Oh my goodness. Oh. I've had such a wonderful day.
Extraordinary day. Just extraordinary.
This is a dream come true. Thank you so much.
Thank you. How fabulous was that? If you loved this episode of Be My Guest, the podcast, with me, Ina Garten, please make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It would mean so much to me. Thanks. Cheers.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.